Thanks for joining us, and welcome to the Stonebridge Church Podcast. Here at Stonebridge, our goal is to lead people into a real, healthy, and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to join us live, we hold services every Sunday at 9:30 and 11:05 a.m. at 1 Stonebridge Church Drive in the Woodlands, Texas. We invite you to check out our website at gostonebridge.com and follow us on Twitter, where our handle is at SBChurch, and give us a like on Facebook at facebook.com/gostonebridge. This week, Pastor Steve Bradley teaches from the series Grace Wins. Here's Pastor Steve.
Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. We've been talking about grace wins, and if you looked in your outline already, you would see that we're talking about how grace gives, because there's something about what God has given to us and how God has given to us that causes us to give to other people and to give back to God. Now, before we jump into the outline, I'm going to make a shift just to let you know that we're going to have sort of a family meeting of Stonebridge Church family, and if you're visiting, you get a chance to sit through that, whether you want to or not. That's right. And we have to do this every once in a while. We're up in the fall. We're working on new budgets and things like that. But I do need to let you know some things about where we are as a church. It's as the pastor of the church, sort of the shepherd, and the one that it's my responsibility to do that, just to let you know where we are. Just to be honest with you, with the oil drop and businesses and all those things too, we've had a pretty tough year this past year. I know that everywhere I go, people will say things like, thank you for the low oil prices. And I'll always tell them, well, where I'm from, we're not that happy. You know, so, you know, we like the oil prices to be higher. And the year before that was the best year our church has ever had. And over the past 5 years or so, we have expanded into a lot of other ministries outside of the church and supporting a lot of other ministries. And in fact, I was just looking through the mission guide. The new one is just out, and I was amazed at how many things and how many groups we partner with, you know, not just Family Legacy, but so many other. There are like 18 or 20 detailed in this. We put a lot of time into this, and this is not everything that we do. It's been a wonderful thing. It's been a blessing for us to say, you know, God has given us the opportunity to partner with and be a part of so many other things. However, at the same time, this year, we have seen a 15 to 20% drop in giving. Just to let you know. And we still support all of these things. We still have been a part of all of these things because this is really who we are. We've tried to become a very generous church. We believe that that's a part of what God wants us to do. In fact, it gives us great joy to be a part of these things and to see how God would use us with all of these other ministries, as well as a lot of other churches. And incidentally, of course, we're not the only church that's been affected by this. We carry a cash cushion for things like this so that we would have a chance year to year to make some adjustments, and we can carry ourselves through the year. But as you can imagine, a 15 to 20% drop was more than we anticipated. And we were able to carry ourselves with our cushion, but it has pretty much depleted our cash cushion. So we're making some adjustments, changes for the new budget, which for us starts in the fourth quarter or the fall. And we're gonna trim some things back. We have to make some cuts in the midst of all that. And just so that you would know, because of my position and who I am, my salary will be cut. Just want to let you know that I will take a cut in salary because it's only right that I would. And I just want to let you know that it affects all of us as we make those cuts. But at the same time, part of this is to let you know this is how we operate, and we operate as a family. We operate off of your giving and your generosity. And I don't want to in any way imply that you have not been generous and you've not been wonderful, because the truth is we have a very generous church and a very giving church. And your faithfulness is how we've been able to do all of these things and get to this point. But at the same time, it's important for me to let you know that this is where we are. And so your giving is important to us more than ever, as not only supporting the ministries of the church and as we readjust our budget, but also we need to go through a process of putting back a cushion, you know, so that we can weather when the next thing comes. And I can't tell you, you know, what will happen with any economy or what will happen with anything. It's just a part of it. We don't send out bills. We can't print money. We work off of your giving, and we always have, and all the programs that we do and all the other things we support work off of your giving. I know someone told me, this is, you know, we're always every Sunday pushing or promoting something. We are, and that's because that's really what we have become and who we are. We see life this way, that there are all these wonderful opportunities. Most of the groups that we partner with, they have a tremendous heart to go do something. In fact, next month, I head to Latvia to work in the teachers' conference. And one of the things I'll be reminded of, I didn't share this with the last service, is as I go, it is difficult going. I just want to let you know, because Latvia has suffered tremendous cutbacks because they lost a third of their population. That's a third of their taxes. The school teachers that we'll work with about 300 of them, have taken two major pay cuts over the past 4 years. I'm talking about major pay cuts. So to be encouraging to them and to try to lift them up and to try to share, you know, God's grace with them and all that and motivate them is not the easiest thing in the world, but it is incredibly rewarding at the end of being with them for about 3 or 4 days, because it really does make a difference to them to know that there are other people in other parts of the world who care about them and who help and who give to them. So that was just kind of throw that in on the side. So over the next several months, if you haven't had a chance to give, if you're able to give, just let you know, it will help us a lot. If you're able to help us put back a cash cushion with a special gift or something like that, it will help us a lot. We still operate on the giving of the church family, not on any one or two people or a handful of people who have big bank accounts and they can write huge checks, and that's really a good thing for us. It's better that we operate as a family. Last time I checked, and it hasn't been for a while, we have over 300 giving units. That's families that give to the church, and different percentages and different amounts. And here's what I would trust is that, you know, as best you can, you would say, God, thank you for what you've given me, and out of that, you know, I will give. If you're not in a position to do that, because I know there have been a lot of job layoffs and changes and things like that, listen, we want you here. This is not about, you know, trying to guilt you or trying to make you feel bad if that's the position you're in. If that's the position you're in, we want you here. That's what a family does, right? You know, we have people in every situation, and I want you to understand that that's just the way we operate and the way that we will continue to operate. I was telling this story. I remember how much easier it was when I first started working. Do you remember that? Came out of college, and first job, I think I made less than $10,000. I believe that's right. I know that you're thinking, well, you weren't very good then. Or, you know, I wasn't, so... working for a writing software for a company and designing some systems, I thought I was doing really well, you know, because when you come out of college and you're making nothing, right, except for, you know, your summer job, it seemed like a good deal. But I still remember how simple and easy life was, and I understand that your life is the same way. I take my calendar at work, I get my paycheck every 2 weeks, and I would take a 10%, you know, because I was raised with the tithe, and that's what it means, a tenth, and I would write in the corner of my calendar the amount, you know, right next to Sunday, a tenth of what I got, so that I would know that's what Sunday, that's what I'm writing a check for. And it was simple, and it, you know, and I know that now, you know, I was probably below the poverty line even then. I understand that, but it wasn't difficult for me because it was just me. It was just, you know, me taking care of me. Now, my life is just like yours. It became a lot more complicated after that, right? And there's a lot more expectation, a lot more, you know, expenses that come up. When the little ankle biters, you know, when they're born, you know, they contribute nothing. I mean, financially, you know, they contribute everything because of the opportunity. But, you know, that's the way it is. And so I understand that life gets difficult and life gets complicated. But what I want to say to you is thank you for your support. Thank you for giving, because you make the church what it is. That's how we operate. That's how we function. That's how we live. And if you can help during this time, just want to say ahead of time that thank you for it. I will update you as we go along. And don't worry, the time that I took to do our little family meeting will be taken out of the sermon, so we won't be here all day. Even though I know that the Texans are not playing today, and didn't play Thursday either. But they, okay. How grace gives. Let me go through, I just want to go through five things with you real quickly. Because as we said when we started this series, God gives to us. God graciously gives to us because he wants to change us. And it is in that giving that God changes who we are. And then because of it, as that change takes its effect, think of it, makes perfect sense, doesn't it? He changes what we do. We act differently. We are gracious. You know, we give because God has given to us. And it is one of those evidences that God is alive inside of us. As someone shared with me between services, he said, you know, it's one of those evidences that God's Spirit lives inside of us. Of course it is, because he has changed the way we see life, the way we see ourselves, and the way we see other people. So here are five ways or five things as far as why we give or what we give. This was planned, just to let you know, in this message here. First of all, we give, or you and I give, because you want to. That's how God wants it to work. God wants you to give because you want to, not because you're being forced to or under compulsion, is what Paul writes. He wants you to give because you say, you know what? God has given to me. I've seen other people, you know, give to me. As my parents would say, you will raise your kids because we raised you, right? You will do these things because it is a passing down of the same grace and the same gift that was given to us. Look at what Paul writes to the Corinthians. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. This from the New American Standard, which is a very, very literal translation. It says, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart. You catch that? He has purposed in his heart. I want to do this. This is what I've decided that I want to do. Not grudgingly or under compulsion. And I love this part. He says, for God loves what kind of giver? A cheerful giver. Pastor that raised me, that built so much into my life, would always say this. He loved to translate this, which was accurate. This word could be translated, for God loves a hilarious giver. He loved it that way. There's someone that just gives and says, man, this is great. This is the best. This is exciting to be able to give of my life, you know, to give of what God has given to me, of the stuff I have, of the energy I have, the emotion that I have, the enthusiasm I have, you know, all of those things, to be able to give that. Why? Because God has given to me. It's because there's a want to in our lives. Years and years ago, I worked with a guy, part of the church, and in a position where I had to work with him all the time. And he was a giver, but he was the most begrudging giver I'd ever been around, I have to tell you. It was like prying it from his hand. And yet he was one of the ones that had to help pry it from his own hand. But he did not enjoy it at all. I mean, in fact, he hated it. He complained about it. He bellyached all the time. And listen, when I would be done with meetings with him and get a chance to leave, I would say, Lord, thank you that I'm, you know, I'm done. I mean, it was difficult, because that was not his attitude. That's not how he looked at it. And because of it, it soured his life. It really did. It affected everything else about him. Now, he looked at it and he would tell me, I'm a Christian, you know, so I have to do this. And it was so painful for him to go through the description of it and all too. And I was like, yes, wow, this, you know, it's just, you know, and because of it, I can tell you, that's kind of the life that he lived. And honestly, I can't say that it affected it, you know, as far as medically, but he didn't live that long, you know. And it seemed like an old man, even though he didn't live that long, you know, because of just the way he approached the whole thing. It reminded me of a couple of verses in Proverbs. Here's what Solomon writes. He says, every day is a terrible day to a miserable person, right? Person who just, you know, they look at life as just painful to do these things. But a cheerful heart is do you like this? A continual feast. Isn't it true? You know, when there's a willingness and a want to in us, and we just say, you know what, this is a privilege. This is an honor. I love doing this. You like helping somebody? You like giving to someone else? You like contributing and knowing, you know, because of what I have done, just look at the things that have taken place. In fact, someone would, ask me, and they mentioned to me, I thank you for doing this, you know, as the pastor stepping up. I know how hard this is. So let me go ahead and tell you, it's actually not hard. It really isn't hard. To talk about giving is a wonderful thing. It's a joyful thing for me to talk about it. The only part that's hard about it is I know it makes some of you uncomfortable. I understand. A little bit of squirming going on, you know, when you start talking about things like that. And just to let you know, I should have done this at the other service. I don't personally know what you give. So, it's just the way we work. I want you to give, and the things that you do to be free, and that you do these because you want to do these things. He also says in Proverbs, Solomon writes, a cheerful disposition is good for your health. It is. To give and to do things with that attitude is good for your health. Gloom and doom leave you, I like this, bone tired. That describes the guy I worked with once before. I mean, I was bone tired too, just being with him. So you give because you want to. The second thing is you give because you plan to. Now, like everything in life, you have to plan. You have to, you know, it doesn't just happen. You can't just take it, you know, a day at a time, whatever happens, whatever comes. God made us like himself. God planned to give to you. God planned to be gracious to you. God planned to bless our lives, and it was something that he just didn't, because he felt like it by the moment. God wanted to do these things. Your life was planned even before you were born, the Bible says. God planned to give to you and to bless you even before you existed, because that's who he is. That comes out of his character, and God tries to teach us the same thing, that it comes out of our character. We plan to do these things because that's who God has made us, and that's what the change that he has brought about in our life. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. It says this in the very first verse, honor the Lord with your wealth and the best part of everything you produce. Some translations will say, and with the first fruits of all that you produce or of your produce. Now, it's actually the same thing. It doesn't mean that in their day, as they would gather from the fields, that the first harvest they would take, and they would just take that first harvest, and they would go and give the whole thing to the temple, knowing that then they wouldn't have anything to eat. That's not what it meant. It meant they gave out of the very first part that they, and the reason was, it was the best part. My dad loved to keep a garden, and we grew corn and tomatoes and squash and, you know, all sorts of things. And I have to tell you that the most exciting part of keeping that garden was not the weeding, it was not the plowing, it was not all those things that we participated in, it was the first part of the harvest, right? Because the first things that came in, it was like, man, it was the best, the very first part that came in. And what he's saying is, we plan to give to God what is out of the best of our lives, the most joyful part of our lives, the generous part of our lives, just as God has given to us. Not out of the leftovers. Not out of, you know, well, if there happens to be anything that I don't want, you know, I'll give it back to God. Because that would be an entirely different attitude of approaching God as opposed to how God has given and approached us. Paul writes to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches in Galatia, so do you also. He means he's directing them the same way. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and to save. So this is a planning part of it. This is very purposeful, as he may prosper. so that no collections be made when I come. So Paul is saying, listen, we don't want to come and have to do all this at one time at the very end. You need to plan these things. This is a part of who you are. This is a part of your life. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes this. He says, remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. In other words, it comes from the approach that we have. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and to make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against, I like this. This is a paraphrase, but I like it. It will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting, right? Because you've made plans. How do you protect yourself from the person that comes and, man, they're just going to take you through the ringer? I was telling somebody, you know, sometimes on the commercials I watch, I turn the channel. Because they're going to take me through 3 minutes of taking me through the ringer. I mean, they're going to every sob story and what are you know what I'm talking about? The ones I'm talking about? And I'm like, and that's not, you know, that's not how I want to be motivated. I want to be motivated by, here are the things that I can do. Here are the things that I've planned to be a part of. Here's what God has been good and gracious and given to me. I'm going to give out of those things. And the way to be protected against that is that you work and you make plans. You make decisions. You say, this is what we want to do. You know, you have to adjust your plans. Absolutely. You have to, but you have to put them into place. And he goes on to say, God loves it when a giver delights in the giving. Here's the third thing. You give to set your heart free. This is what actually Jesus said. You give in order to set your heart free. Because our heart can be captured by things. And God says that this idea of being generous and giving is the way to make sure that your heart is not caught and not captured. Look at what Jesus said. This is from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6. He says in verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. He's saying it's a trap where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But he said instead, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Catch this. For where your treasure is, there will your what? Your heart be also. See, I would think, wouldn't you, that Jesus would have said, for where your heart is, there will your... But there's this problem. We want to say our heart is with one thing, but there's no way that my heart can be over here if my treasure is over here. He says, no, your heart will be where your treasure is, the things that you treasure, that you say, this is the most important thing. Here's a little known medical fact. I come from a medical family, medical background. I was pre-medical in college, and so you may not know this, but it's one of those things that's absolutely true. There's a little-known nerve in the body that's actually the most sensitive nerve in your body. Do you know that? That nerve runs from your heart to your wallet, to your back pocket, right here. It's the most sensitive nerve in your body. It is. Because when someone touches that, you're like, whoa, you know, you can deal with a lot of other things and say, hey, you know, that doesn't matter. And, you know, but when someone starts dealing with this, it touches this. And that's what Jesus is saying. Where your treasure is, that's where you find your heart. In fact, God says this, that you have to be careful because where your treasure is, your treasure can all of a sudden become your God itself. And that's a mistake because God needs to be God. And this just reflects, you know, where your heart really is. Look at what Jesus goes on to say in that section on the Sermon on the Mount. He goes on to say, the eye is the lamp of the body. This means how you see things is going to affect how you live your life. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light that is in you is darkness, that means if the eye is bad, how great the darkness. And then he adds, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. He says, you cannot serve both God and mammon is what he calls it. Or it means wealth. It means the riches of this earth. It doesn't say it's a bad idea to try to serve both. he actually is saying, can't be done. There can only be one that you serve in your life. There can only be one God in your life. And the Bible says when something else takes the place of the most important thing in your life, God's place, the place that should be his, he in the Bible it calls it an idol. And he says, you know, worship one God, love one God, have no other idols in your life. And that means we have begun to look at something as that thing is the most important thing. That thing is where I will find happiness. That thing is where I'll find satisfaction. That thing is where, what I will trust my life to. And it's very easy for the wrong things to take that spot. And the only solution to that is to remember that God, you know, God himself is my God. He is my king. He is the one that I serve. And that dethrones everything else. That means in the Bible it says this, you should take stuff in this world, your riches, your treasure, and you should look at the stuff and say, can't take it with me, but you know what I can do? I can use it to invest and send it on ahead. I can't. I can use it to invest in the things that matter. I can use it to be like God and be generous like God. And it helps shape and form my life, and it sends on a treasure ahead to heaven ahead of me because of what God has done and how God has reshaped my life. Now, this is how Jesus says that you and I are supposed to live. And it absolutely frees us when we begin to live that way, because we then serve God with what we have rather than allow or make it so that we use people to try to get what we have instead. Here's number four, a gift to worship God. I don't know if you know this, but giving is actually an act of worship. It's how we worship God. It's why I know sometimes people don't understand. I know we have church, we sing, and all of a sudden they pass the baskets. I don't like it when they pass the baskets. Why do we do that? Because it's an act of worship for us. We give God our praise. We sing about him. We talk about the things that he has done. We give him our attention. We listen. We try to learn what God is teaching us. But part of it is we give back to God from what God has given us as an act of worship. You can go all the way back in the Old Testament, and this was an acknowledgement of the one who is greater than us and the one who has given to us. And so to give back to God financially is to say, I worship you, God. I realize that you are the one who gives to me and provides for me the things that I have. And so this is my willing statement. This is my planned statement. This is what I do so that my heart would not be trapped and I would not be caught, but instead so that my heart would be yours. This is what Paul writes in Romans. He says in chapter 12, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. That means who you are, because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. You give yourself to God. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That means changing the way you see things. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And number five, finally, you give to glorify God. And it really does glorify God. When you and I give back to God and other people see it, they say, whoa, why would they do that? And you give back and it makes a change in someone else's life, or it makes a change in another program, you know, somewhere. People go, wow, why would they do that? And it makes a statement about how you see God and how you see God's generosity and how you want to be like God also. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, after the part that we read earlier. Let me read through this real quickly for you. This is what he says, verse 10. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. This is his logic. In the same way, he will provide increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of, what is the word? Yeah, generosity in you that comes out of you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who are in need of them, and they were going to take a gift to Jerusalem, they will thank God. They will, you know, One of the things that I have the privilege of doing that I know that you don't get to see as much, I get to meet with people, hear from people, talk with people all the time who say, man, I thank God for Stonebridge Church. And it is a wonderful thing, because I always have to tell them, well, I just represent it, It's all these people who give and who are generous and give of their time and of their enthusiasm. And they do this because of who God is. But I mean, I have people all the time that would tell me, I recently had someone that said, if it weren't for Stonebridge Church, we wouldn't be here. If it weren't for Stonebridge Church, we wouldn't have made it. If it weren't for Stonebridge Church, our lives would be dramatically different. And that's because of what you do and because of how you give of yourself, how you participate, how you graciously give of who you are to other people. And it does make a difference. Verse 12, he says, so two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and that's what happens. And they will joyfully express their thanks to God. There is a praise that comes out of the lives of other people. Verse 13, as a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. That obedience to the good news of Christ means you are responding to the generosity that God has given you, how God has rescued you, how God has given his son for you. And the obedience to that means that you, because of that, you give of yourself. It comes through your life. That's what he's actually talking about. In verse 14, he says, and they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for this gift too wonderful for words. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you are good to us. You're gracious to us. And you know our lives. In fact, we are so grateful that it was your plan to be gracious to us. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't something that certainly that you did begrudgingly to us. Instead, you have given us the things that we have. You've given us the life that we have. You've made us all unique. You've given us our place. And God, you're the one by your Son who has come to change our entire attitude, our approach to life, so that we would not spend our time trapped just by the things of this world, thinking that's the only thing that matters or that those are the most important things. But as we go through this journey of life, we would see so much more. We would see you, see your generosity, would see the people that you've made. We would see the opportunity that we have to give, and other people then thank you for the gift, that it would give glory to your name, that it would make the gospel itself come alive to them, become even more real to them. Lord, help us that we would not be like the world around us, serving idols that really can't help us and are only temporary, don't last. But God, instead, that we thank you that you've set us free by your Son, that we could know you and trust you and follow you, and that we could become like you because of what he has done. If you're here this morning, you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ. You've never taken that step to trust him and say, God, thank you that you gave me your Son. Jesus, come live in my heart. Come live in my life. Forgive me of my sins. Change me. I know that you didn't do these things so I would stay the way I am. I want to be changed. I want to be a different person, a new kind of person. So come and change me. Fill me with a new life, a new spirit. Walk with me. And I thank you that I know I will spend eternity, the rest of my life, even past this life, with you forever in your generosity. In Jesus' name we pray.